Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It's Thursday, April the 24th, 2025, and this is program number 1362. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, in addition to 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, rcistlucia.com. You can download our previous shows on that platform, and we are also available on our Facebook live feed. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. If you'd like to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, that mainline number is 452-3046, and you can also reach us via WhatsApp. That is 724-0008. And that, of course, on WhatsApp, you could either call in or you can message in your comments. And again, that number is 724-0008. Now, today we want to send out some birthday greetings to Dr. Rachel Thwaites-Williams. Happy, happy birthday to you, Dr. Thwaites. And we do hope that you're having a wonderful and fantastic birthday celebration. Also want to send out some birthday greetings to Mrs. Geeta Tulsi. Happy, happy birthday to you. And we wish you an absolutely wonderful birthday as well. A bit of looking back in time and the history for the day. We want to look back to the year 1898. And in the Spanish-American War, Spain declared war after rejecting a U.S. ultimatum to withdraw from Cuba. In the year 1916, on this day, the Easter Rising of Irish Republicans against British occupation began in Dublin, Ireland. In the year 1962, on this day, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology sent a TV signal by satellite for the first time, and that was from California to Massachusetts. In the year 1968, American General William Westmoreland said in a Vietnam War news conference that the enemy had, quote, gained support in the United States that gives him hope that he can win politically, that which he cannot win militarily. And in the year 2018, streaming music services overtook worldwide sales of CDs and vinyl for the first time, according to the IFPI. And in 2023, on this day, April the 24th, India surpassed China as the world's most populous country, according to United Nations estimates, with 1,425,775,850 people. They are estimated to reach 1.7 billion people in India by the year 2064. We now head across to our dish of the day. Daily Dish has brought you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One tiles for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need tiles for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big tiles with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Did all kind of tiles. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also got gasoline and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosseju Grozzy Lane, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
Well, of course, we want to begin our program. Before we get into the matters of the budget, we definitely want to make special mention of our returning athletes coming out of the Karifta Games. And, of course, we've heard of their sterling performances. And both in athletics as well as in swimming, we have been seeing some fantastic achievements in both areas. In the case of swimming, although I don't have the full details, of course, I think we won up to about 13 or 14 medals in the Karifta Aquatics competition that was ongoing. I believe, of course, as well within that mix, I want to make special mention of Antoine Destang, who came in with gold as well. And so we're going to get those that data, those stats, as soon and hopefully sometime next week as well. I'd like to touch base with some of the individuals who've been very active in giving guidance and coaching and supporting our athletes and swimmers out there, and of course getting some of their perspectives as well. Yesterday we saw the return of the Krifta team, and there was a ceremony held at the George Charles school, and that occurred yes, of course, as well. I think the Prime Minister of Grenada was also there, Prime Minister Dickon Mitchell, and of course honoring a number of the athletes there, including of course the double gold winner in the 100 and 200 meters sprints in the female races. That is 16-year-old JD Emmanuel of Mont-Paul Labrie. So certainly we just want to congratulate all our athletes and their tremendous successes thus far. Of course, on Tuesday, we also saw the Prime Minister delivering his budget address, and that gave a pretty good sense of what was being looked at and planned for the year 2025-2026. And, of course, we will be expecting some debate on this budget as part of the Appropriation Bill 2025-2026. And I think the debate, in fact, has already begun. It began this morning. And I think Mr. Alfred Prosper has already spoken. Last I checked, it was the minister responsible for Home Affairs and as well Persons with Disabilities, the Honorable Jeremiah Norbert, MP for Miku North, sort of starting off the batting, so to speak, in their debate ongoing. So, of course, there are two members of the opposition in the House of St. Lucia, in the House of Assembly of St. Lucia, and one would like to hope that we can see both of those gentlemen make contributions in the in this coming debate, because of course theirs is a very important role, the importance of scrutiny by the opposition within our system of government. Unfortunately, in the last debate on the estimates of revenue and expenditure, we only saw the Member of Parliament for Choiseul Saltibus, the Honorable Bradley Felix, making a contribution on behalf of the opposition. And of course, the Leader of the Opposition seemed not to want to come to the fore and was effectively waiting for the last minute to be able to make a contribution. And we've spoken about this matter before, and of course the importance of the Leader of the Opposition. The tendency, of course, is that the expectation that there would be a rebuttal delivered by the Leader of the Opposition. This was a norm when he was Prime Minister, and there was, of course, a Leader of the Opposition at that time. The current Prime Minister, Philippe J. Pierre, was Leader of the Opposition, and he, after the Prime Minister presented his budget proposals, would come forward on behalf of the opposition and get the ball rolling in terms of scrutiny of the proposals. Mr. Chasney, the Honorable Leader of the Opposition, seems to believe that he has some right to be able to be the last speaker, even when, however, of course, we know that we're dealing with a situation where you've got 15 individuals who are not members of the opposition, who are aligned to the government, and two for the opposition. And he has seemingly wanted to be the last speaker for whatever reason. I don't know why he thinks that the last word is important in this entire matter, and why he does not want to get ahead of it all and, in fact, speak. And according to what it was almost suggesting, he was almost questioning what he should speak on. Rather curious statements being made publicly by the leader of the opposition, almost to say that, look, well, this is all, you know, all very nice things, and what should he say? I hope I'm not interpreting what he's saying wrongly, but effectively that's what he said. And, you know, you would think, however, that he would still, no doubt, because he did take to the media and made statements on the budget, suggesting that they were lies, effectively. And so, of course, one would think that he'd want to come out and have an early go at the critique of the 2025-2026 budget. Now, in fact, there's a story on this, and we're going to share it in the interest of ensuring that we're hearing from the opposition. The Daily Post, in fact, had a title, Shastney Fires Back at Budget Statement. Opposition leader says St. Lucians paying more and getting less. And it reads as follows. Opposition leader Alan Shastney pulled no punches on Tuesday morning as he spoke with reporters ahead of Prime Minister Philip J. Pierre's much-anticipated 2025-2026 budget statement. So these are statements that he made prior to the actual budget. He went on to say, in a pointed critique, Shastney accused the government of burdening St. Lucians with higher taxes while failing to deliver meaningful improvements in their daily lives. Quote, I expect a lot more lies, Shastney said bluntly. The numbers in the estimates speak for themselves. Compared to 2019, the government is now collecting $300 million more in taxes. And the question every St. Lucian should ask is, what are we getting in return? Highlighting the rising cost of living, the Miku South MP noted that gas prices have jumped from $13 to $16.50 per gallon since 2019. Bread prices have doubled and bus fares have gone up by over 35%. We're paying more for everything, he added, and yet we're not seeing improvements in the services we depend on. End quote. Shastney reserved some of his strongest criticism for the state of healthcare, citing warnings from the St. Lucia Medical and Dental Association. They've said it's never been worse, and the public sees it every day. Overcrowded hospitals, no medication at health centers, broken equipment, and demoralized staff. He also expressed concern over growing public safety threats, pointing to the jump in homicides from 46 in 2019 to 77 last year. Life has gotten harder, he said. There's no real sense that things are getting better. The opposition leader accused the government of hiding behind a 4.5% growth rate, describing it as a distraction, not a solution. He further alleged that the administration had entered full campaign mode, citing the injection of $15 million from the Citizenship by Investment Program and $18 million in Taiwanese funds into community infrastructure projects like sidewalks and bus shelters. Quote, that's not development, that's politics, he said. Turning to the controversial CIP, Shastney warned of growing international scrutiny. Quoting Prime Minister Ralph Gonsalves of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, he said the U.S., quote, the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Europe gave this region 3 years to clean up CIP. They couldn't do it because without it, there's no money. That's damning. According to Shastney, the current administration slashed the minimum real estate investment from $300,000 to $200,000, dramatically increased the volume of approved applications from $1,000 to $6,000, and allowed Galaxy, a third-party developer, to structure a deal worth hundreds of millions. Galaxy was supposed to give $100 million and get back $600 million. He said, now the program is suspended and they're blaming me. Chastney's comments have reignited debate over the government's fiscal stewardship and whether St. Lucians are truly benefiting from the country's economic gains. And that's a story that was covered by the St. Lucia Daily Post. And of course, there's a lot to unpack there. But one of the things that hits me very early, though, is the matter of healthcare. And I do keep on hearing this narrative that things have never been worse with respect to healthcare in St. Lucia. And I personally don't know how that is, in fact, being measured. We hear a lot of these anecdotal situations. And, of course, let's not in any way sugarcoat the state of our healthcare. No doubt about it, you're going to have instances where people are not receiving healthcare as in a timely fashion as they would like. But the thing about it is that there will always be the 10% or the 5% who are really aggrieved because of whatever issues that may in fact be occurring in terms of issues in terms of length of time spent in accidents, emergency, and what have you. But I don't know if that represents the real sum total of the situation with respect to healthcare in the country. And then, I mean, because when I think back, you know, into the 90s, where healthcare was in St. Lucia, where you had the state of health centers, where you had the state of Victoria Hospital in those days, I'm not too sure that we want to go back there. And to suggest that it's never been worse is really, really a very, very strange statement, because in all honesty, I personally have seen improvements in the quality of healthcare, in the public health system in St. Lucia. Have we gotten it all right? I don't think we can say so. There are still issues, of course, in terms of procurement. But the other thing about it, though, is that I'm not sure how Mr. Chastney can somehow absolve himself from the overall situation with respect to healthcare, because he speaks of, for example, overcrowded hospitals. And we know that very sordid story of how this entire matter has transpired. In the first instance, with respect to OKEU, we saw that it was originally supposed to have had 150 beds. It then ended up with a reduction in that number of beds because of the attempt to contain costs, we were told at the time. I mean, that was during a time when Mr. Chastney was, in fact, a minister of government. We saw as well the situation with respect to St. Jude Hospital, where there was, in fact, a hospital. The program was moving forward for completion of St. Jude Hospital. And we saw what happened there, a complete suspension of the project, and then going through a process of the review, and it not in any way to necessarily contain costs, because at the end of it all, the approach that was then taken by the then government was to put on ice the redevelopment that was going on, only to engage in new construction of a new facility for St. Jude Hospital, which by the end of by the time there was the end of the term of in 2021, was effectively still a building which was really just a superstructure, you know, and some cladding, without actually having any you know, fittings, any furnishings, any equipment. In fact, not even a lot of the systems that a hospital would require, and basic things like your heating and ventilation systems, your cooling systems, your medical gas lines, your plumbing systems, your electrical systems. Those were not in place in that structure. And so a lot of these issues that he's raising here, I'm not sure that he can take himself out of that equation Because, in fact, he was the minister, the prime minister, for quite a while during that period. And so if there are certain things that he can specifically identify about maybe what has happened or transpired over the past 4 years or so with the new administration that has actually caused what we're seeing, then I could understand some of the attempts to pass blame. But a lot of the issues are actually a backlog of issues. And he spoke of, for example, broken equipment. And for many who are aware of what occurred with respect to the Owen King EU Hospital, the European Union provided a significant amount of investment, not just for the building of the new hospital, but also the equipping of that hospital. And quite a lot of resources, millions and millions of dollars, were provided to bring in new equipment. And unfortunately, a lot of that equipment was lost, was effectively wasted, and he refers to broken equipment, as a result of this hospital being delayed for so long in terms of the actual commissioning. And so whereas we were supposed to be seeing a hospital that was supposed to have had an MRI and lots of other modern diagnostic equipment, unfortunately, that hasn't materialized. And we do recall that the OKEU seemed only to have been available by force as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak in the country. I mean, up until that point, OKEU had pretty much already been sitting down over the past 4 years, completed but not being utilized. And that, of course, I think is still something that the country has to get going, because this is these equipment, these pieces of equipment are very expensive. And unfortunately, we're in this sort of situation right now. So, again, no doubt there will be lots of this type of banter, but we do hope that he will be willing to put that on public record within the House of Assembly for the debate in this coming cycle. Of course, the debate on taxes, another very interesting one, and no doubt we will have to wait and hear what comes out of that. In fact, the Minister of Finance announcing a number of tax relief measures, and that certainly would be pretty interesting. Now, of course, Mr. Chastney's statements came before he heard the budget, and maybe he may actually have a change of view. One thing I did actually catch on with, though, I think he was giving a comment on another talk show, and he was almost suggesting that the government reduced the personal allowance for income tax. Now, you'd recall, maybe not, that the personal allowance, I think, was somewhere around $17,000 a few years ago. And I think perhaps up to Mr. Chastney's time, I think it was either 17,000 or maybe 18,000. I'm not sure if it had changed before. I don't think there was any change in the personal allowance during his period as prime minister. It stayed the same. And we then saw an increase in the personal allowance. Now, of course, the personal allowance allows, it effectively means that persons who are under that personal allowance pretty much who earn less than that amount would not end up paying any tax. So it's a sort of like an immediate tax break for individuals. And the personal allowance was raised from 18,000 up to 25,000. He then made but Mr. Chastney then made a statement, and this happened not too long ago, right? A couple of years ago under the current administration. He then makes a statement that the government increased the personal allowance to 36,000 and then reduced it to 25,000. And I'm not sure that ever happened. I could stand to be corrected, but I don't think that happened. And then he then made mention that they provided a cap in the total amount of what persons could claim. Now, let's explain that a little bit. So, yes, there was a cap that was placed on what individuals could claim above and beyond the personal allowance. So you would claim your $25,000, you wouldn't be taxed for that. Then normally people also claim $400, an automatic medical allowance that you can take without having to present any medical bills. And the change then was that there was a cap of $30,000. Within which you could claim for additional things. Now, there are some things that actually were not capped, right? So, for example, medical expenses were not within this $30,000 cap. So that meant that you could effectively claim whatever you saw in terms of deductions from your taxable income, up to whatever you, in fact, have spent with regards to medical expenses. So that, in fact, would be in addition to the personal allowance, in addition to the cap, you could also claim that. The other matter that I think was also not within the cap was that of investments in solar photovoltaic systems. And I think in that instance, you could claim up to $25,000 per person or per household for the purpose of investing in solar PV. Now, the cap that existed before would have then looked at things beyond that. So a lot, of course, some people would have had credit union shares. They would have had maybe a mortgage that they were paying. And those things would generally be would have been able to utilize that cap, that threshold, to be able to pay off some of those. So what has just been announced by the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, is that the cap is, in fact, has moved upwards from 30,000 to 40,000. Now, that's certainly a big deal for persons in the middle class and persons who would want to be able to save in terms of their income tax payments. However, in addition to that, raising the cap, what has also occurred within the Prime Minister's proposals is that he has also changed the deductibles, the thresholds of the various deductibles. So, for example, if you had a mortgage paying, you would have been able to have claimed all of the $30,000 within that cap. But that did not apply for a lot of other areas where persons would normally seek out deductions. So, for example, if you had a dependent, you may have been taking care of a relative, you have an aged parent, or you have maybe somebody who you are providing care for, you would have been able before to have claimed, I think, $350. Under the old system or the current system. And what has been done is that a number of these things have been changed. So you've gone from $350 being able to be claimed up to $5,000 for somebody who you who is a dependent within that context. And in addition to that, the child allowance prior to the proposed changes, or currently, they were in fact I think $1,000 up to 10 years old. And then from 10 above, it was $2,000, which is not a parent would have been able to claim. Now it's actually been adjusted so that a parent can now claim up to $5,000 per child within a given year. So that's a significant increase in what persons can claim. So even though you may not have a mortgage, you can now, in fact, be able to claim more for the cost of taking care of children or the cost of taking care of a dependent, like maybe a sick relative. All of those things can now, in fact, be claimed. So you've actually significantly broadening the opportunity for persons to take up more of that cap, which was in place. So a lot of stuff, needs to be looked at, no doubt, in terms of the proposals. Lots was presented, and hopefully we'll be able to, over the coming days, do just that. But, of course, we're going to have to take a break at this point, so we're going to end our dish of the day and head across to take in our weather report.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also glad that's your vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down to my nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosseju Groselets, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Seglucia, create it with Iron Star Bathroom Bonanza. Bundle and save from vanities to toilets, shower sets to vanities. Pair them up, triple them up, or buy five or more for 10, 12, and 15% off.
Do something to talk about.
The more you buy, the more you save. Get discounts on selected items like faucets, LED mirrors, cleaners, and more. What more? Bathroom bliss? We're giving you a special introductory offer on toilets starting as low as $240. Island style bathroom bonanza is on at our Castries, Wardney Bay, and Viewfort stores. Call or visit us today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Hello, of course, hello, world, point one. It's now time for your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talent Bath. The forecast for Solution valid for the next 24 hours. The winds will be blowing from between the east, southeast, and east near 14 miles per hour or 22 kilometers per hour, becoming lighter or calm at times. The weather partly cloudy to cloudy and hazy for a few showers. The forecast for Little Antilles is occasionally cloudy skies with scattered light to moderate showers over the northern portion. That should be over the northern Windward and Leeward Islands, elsewhere partly cloudy to cloudy at times with a few showers. The weather summary, a lingering trough system will continue to cause cloudiness and showers mainly over the northern portion of the Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. Light winds are expected to persist across the Eastern Caribbean during the forecast period. And this is your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
St. Lucia, create it with Iron Star Bathroom Bonanza. Bundle and save from vanities to toilets, shower sets to vanities. Pair them up, triple them up, or buy five or more for 10, 12, and 15% off.
Do something to talk about.
The more you buy, the more you save. Get discounts on selected items like faucets, LED mirrors, cleaners, and more. What more? Bathroom bliss? We're giving you a special introductory offer on toilets starting as low as $240. Island style bathroom bonanza is on at our Castries, Wardney Bay, and Viewfort stores. Call or visit us today.
And welcome back to the Lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Of course, if you want to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And also, you can call into our WhatsApp number, 724-0008. Let's go to the phone lines at this time. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom.
What's on your plate? Good afternoon, Mr. George.
How are you doing, caller?
Not too bad.
Wonderful.
Now, right, what I wanted to talk about is the child allowance.
Yes.
Because they say child. But the word child, but there is people, they have four children.
Yes.
So if you have five, if they give you allowance for, what, 5,000, any? So how they multiply that with four children?
Well, it'd be up to 20,000. So if you have, if you, for argument's sake, have a salary of, say, $48,000 a year, right? $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
You would then have your $25,000 personal allowance, right? Which everybody benefits from.
Yeah.
Right? And then you would still be able to claim for each child, right? Up to the age of 18, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So that would be your... So basically, that would bring you up to about $45,000. So you would your taxable income, assuming that you have nothing else to claim, right?
Yeah.
You may have other things that you might claim. You might have a credit union shares, for example, or you may have some other, maybe you may have a small mortgage payment, whatever it is, you can still claim. So basically, it then means that you would pretty much be in a sort of a, provided that, of course, you have your right tax code and whatnot, you would be pretty much tax-free in terms of income tax.
Yeah.
You wouldn't pay any income tax.
Yeah, but a lot of people in that bracket, they don't pay because you take the threshold from 25,000, bring it to 30,000. Now you take it from 30,000 to 40,000.
Remember what 40, it is. There are two things.
A man that in the 40,000 bracket can claim, but a man that's in the 30,000, he already below that bracket. He don't reach that threshold.
So what it is, right? So what it is, right? So everybody gets a $25,000 personal allowance.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of, so your taxable income begins above $25,000, right?
Yeah, you but begin, a man with four children
now,
already.
Now, if you have, now what,
children,
right, now
or,
what?
Already bring you up to that bracket.
Right, so that's on top of the 25,000.
Yeah.
So if you have two children, you would then have, you could then claim another 10,000,
yeah,
right, within that proposal, right? So that means that your 35,000 would then be covered. You see,
yeah,
because what it is right now is that you had, before, it was a $25,000 personal allowance, and then on top of the 25,000, you could have gone up to 30,000. So basically, theoretically, if you could have claimed everything, you came up to 55,000.
Listen to me, Mr. Judge.
Yes.
A man that already lower than the threshold, lower in the bracket, he won't pay tax.
Yes, that's correct.
You see what I'm looking for?
Yeah, that's correct. He wouldn't pay tax. Yes.
Yeah. So being he wouldn't pay tax, and they give the child another 5,000. So how that work? Would the government put their hand in the pocket and give that man something?
No, it doesn't work that way because we don't have now in some countries, right? In our system, it doesn't work that way, right?
Yeah.
But in some countries, you do have a sort of a negative tax system,
mm-hmm,
right? So
yeah,
effectively, you could theoretically, the government could be in a situation if you can claim all of these things and then they would in fact have to make up the difference. But that's not very many countries that actually do that. I think maybe some of the Nordic countries, I'll have to check where that comes in. Because that effectively becomes a bit of a subsidy. It's like a subsidy, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but in this current situation, it really depends on how much you end up making. So that's why it would really benefit. Some of these things now would benefit. So let's say, for example,
a man over 40,000 bracket, a man like 50,000, that benefit them a lot.
It would benefit.
Or even 40,000.
Even 40,000. Even 40,000.
40,000. They don't pay tax, so they can put and they have four children. How could they put a claim for the four children, which will probably bring them 5,000, bring them 20,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could potentially.
You see where I'm going? That won't work.
Well,
in
some instances,
the majority of the people of St. Lucia, they don't own that kind of money.
Well,
so
that's right.
You
so that's why
about the middle class,
right? But then what you had before in the system currently is that you could only, even though you had a $30,000 cap, right?
Yeah.
You would, if you don't have a mortgage, Let's just say you don't have a mortgage.
Yeah, well, the mortgage, you talk about the mortgage.
Right. So
a 40,000 mortgage.
Right. So about. Basically, so in other words, you can use all of the cap to pay off your mortgage. So you could go all up to the 40,000, right?
Yeah.
But then you may not have a mortgage. So then that means, but then you, so then in a situation like that, you may only be able to claim at that in that time if you had maybe a child or two children, you might then be able to claim maybe 3,000.
Thinking of it right now, there can be a switch there. Yo, if you married and your wife owning a little bit of money, you allowed your wife to claim for that child.
Right, so that's what a lot of families would do.
Definitely.
So sometimes in a situation where maybe the husband might take on the benefit of the mortgage mm-hmm. on his threshold, so he could put the depending on whatever they make. Let's say they have a mortgage of, I don't know, maybe $2,500. So that's like $30,000. So he could actually use up his cap of $30,000, and then he might still have maybe shares in the credit union. So he could go up to $5,000. So that's $35,000 in total. The wife, on the other hand, might decide she might be making a little less or more, or whatever the case may be. And she could use her cap of 30,000. She could, the children could now, so she could benefit, whereas she was benefiting only maybe $2,000 of the cap, she can now benefit $10,000 of that cap. So it then allows for families to be able to have greater benefit in that regard. And it would also help people who,
it's a help, but to me, it's a help for mostly the middle class, the people that own in money. But all the people, the more than half of the population of St. Lucia, they own a lot lower than 30,000.
That is true. And that's why, so not all the benefits benefit everybody. I mean, in principle, they might still be people who might be, you could be making 3,000 or 4,000 and you could still be benefiting out of that situation.
Anyway,
so,
Mr. Judge, good afternoon.
Thanks very much. All right, then, caller. Thanks very much for that one. So, it definitely is something that is more driven towards perhaps supporting and helping out persons in the middle class, but also other individuals who may have been in a situation maybe with a salary of about... say $3,000 a month, and they would still be in a better off situation, because effectively it would mean that they could, if they've got a child or if they have some other areas to claim, that would certainly help them in effectively becoming more in that tax-free bracket, which is a benefit to a lot of other people. So that has been the in terms of the income tax, that's the issue there. Now, of course, the other thing, too, is that some may argue that a lot of people don't really even pay the income tax. It's, I think, under 30% of the population or thereabouts are actually captured within that. There have been some suggestions that we should perhaps even do away with income tax and push more towards consumption taxes like the VAT. And there is some merit in those arguments as well, or concentrating on other areas that could be looked at in terms of taxation. There's also mention, of course, within the budget about relief for food prices and gas prices. And that, of course, no doubt will be a welcome break for everybody in St. Lucia, because I think we all have to deal with food prices and the impact of the rising cost of prices all over the world. Has meant that we have been seeing pressures in regard to the price of certain items in the supermarket. There are two ways of looking at it. Hopefully, as well, we can see some more being done on the side of food security. That's another challenge that we continue to have. And the Prime Minister did make mention of the commitment towards trying to reduce on food imports coming into the country, and the agricultural sector in this regard certainly needs all the help it can get. And he, of course, he did mention help that is being provided to the ag sector by way of fertilizer as well as support for irrigation in terms of providing water tanks and that. And he also made mention of an effort in terms of working with the Guyanese government. That trust there is something that we've been hearing quite a lot about, and we've seen other countries in the Caribbean, like Barbados, I think, pursuing that. And we've got to be practical about our limitations. In the case of St. Lucia, I think we've got about 6,000 acres or so of arable land. Not very much. And unfortunately, we have not also made best use of some of that land too. We've seen a lot of urban sprawl, which has in fact impacted on some of the best lands in that regard. And if you look at a place like Cul-de-Sac Valley, and a lot of commercial activity where lands were previously under agriculture, under bananas or some other form of food crop. And so we definitely have to be thinking about this process of support for the agricultural sector. I know that the Prime Minister did provide that input regarding the South Louis Community College and our nursing students this year. Maybe next year he might even consider looking at the agricultural department up there too, and providing maybe some free tuition for some of the students heading into that direction, because that is another challenge that we have within the agricultural sector, that is getting more young people involved. And it's a challenge worldwide. Even in places like Japan, for example, they probably have it even worse. I think the average farmer in Japan is like 66 years old, right? And so you really have a certain risk that you're dealing with in terms of your food supply when you're seeing who are the individuals who are still holding these farms and making them operable. So definitely the need for support in the food sector has to also come from greater support for agriculture as well. But of course, in the immediate, we certainly do need some help in terms of the price of food. And the indication there was that items that are currently under the price control regime, and I think that would probably include a lot of things, the basic items that individuals utilize, so your tuna, your canned tuna, and your corned beef, and different things of that nature. I can't remember all of them. I certainly don't know all of them offhand. But those things he indicated, which are already VAT free, they don't have VAT on them, VAT on them, because remember, a number of the items already are either zero rated or VAT exempt. And he was indicating that in addition to that, the government is also going to be taking out the import duty as well as the service charge on those items to try to bring down the price of those items. He also mentioned the provision of, in terms of the zero-rated versus the VAT-exempt. Now, this matter is one which supermarkets, retailers have mentioned over the years as being one more of how they handle and spread their costs, so to speak. So remember, you have some things that are zero-rated. They're not even on the VAT list. And then you have, they are on the VAT list, but they are set to zero versus VAT exempt items, which don't, there's nothing at all. Now, you would think that, of course, zero rated VAT exempt effectively is almost the same, right? In terms of, you would be multiplying by zero, and so therefore there's no VAT. But there is actually, from a business point of view, there is a difference, and that is Once those items are zero rated, then the way that the supplier can spread his costs are a little different in that regard. And of course, you can then claim VAT against those items. So from an import perspective, it assists them in terms of their overall cash flow situation. So hopefully that could also result in some reductions from those items. And in addition to that, there was also mentioned by the Prime Minister that they're also looking at some other items to include under the zero rated category. And so I think he did mention things like cheese and turkey parts and I think like sausages and things of that nature. So certainly that would be very interesting to see how that, of course, can help out with in terms of prices. Because let's also remember that at the end of the day, these things are largely imported into St. Lucia. And so we've been seeing price adjustments, and let's hope that we don't see negative price adjustments in terms of inflationary pressures. But in the nature of the world that we're living in right now, we don't know. To some degree, we may see things, if there is actually a recession, then some may argue that things might actually get cheaper. Who knows? But usually what it means, though, in a case of a recession, you've got less people spending. And in a situation like that, it could be potentially dangerous for us, because we depend on people who are utilizing their discretionary income, their monies that they, you know, that they still have left over to go on very nice vacations, right? That's what we effectively are depending on, discretionary spending of people coming out of the United States of America and elsewhere. And of course, in a situation where there is less discretionary spending because of a recession, where there's less money in circulation, then that certainly could be a dangerous situation for the potential St. Lucian economy going forward. We haven't quite seen that yet, but of course, let's hope that we see some changes in policy in this regard over the ongoing trade war. The Prime Minister did mention a number of other initiatives, and I'm not sure that we're going to have enough time to actually get into a lot of them, but I think one of them that was mentioned included the VFO Administrative Center. I think he mentioned that one. Of course, he also mentioned a number of hotel projects that likely to get going or already going, including the Isla Resort property, and also mentioned the expansion of the Bay Gardens Resort property, and just south of Bay Gardens as well, another major development along Rodney Bay, along the Red River Beach, and that is where you have, well, you had previously three distinct properties. The Papillon, the Rex, and the Royal, and they have all been, that entire strip has in fact been bought by the Royalton, right, the owners of the Royalton, and the expectation there is that we would see sooner rather than later a major redevelopment encompassing up to 1,400 hotel rooms. I would imagine prior to that beach probably had somewhere in the region of about 700 or so rooms across those three hotels. In fact, the first beach resort in St. Lucia was, in fact, the one on the southern end, which was last known as Starfish. And so effectively, the intention there is to effectively have a significant tourist plant on certainly what is one of St. Lucia's most attractive bays. That, of course, is in Silentrian as they are currently looking at demolition works for those two other properties. One already, the middle one already demolished, and the intention to demolish the other two so that they can then build a brand new facility, a brand new hotel complex there. I think it's certainly very important that Rodney Bay has been the nexus, the center of our hotel accommodation for quite some time. And since those three properties have been closed, the level of buoyancy within the Rodney Bay Strip has perhaps gone down a bit as a result of these hotels no longer being there, and of course in walking distance to a lot of the shopping and other entertainment areas. So the need for them to actually come back is certainly really, really important. And of course the ongoing other development at the south side at Mount Pima would perhaps help as well in that regard. Well, like I said, we're going to continue the unpacking of the budget, and the debate continues in the Parliament of St. Lucia and will be happening today and tomorrow. So that's our program for today here at the Lunchroom. And we do hope that you have a very blessed day. Have a good one.